tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Gurmila Maha, good Pat, and welcome along to the second hour of Tip Today. Now, one of our listeners on to say, just to confirm that it was Carrick Swan that Jimmy Finn came up against, and not Carrick and Shure in the 40s and 50s era. Carrick Swan won the county senior hurling final in 1947. This is a very knowledgeable listener. Thank you for that. Another listener saying, yes, it's disgraceful what's going on with the teachers, Fran. I have a son working in retail, and like the rest of retail staff, he's not been pushed up to get the vaccine. What would happen if they went on strike? In fairness, some of the teachers coming out on social media last night, particularly on Twitter, and saying, you know, well, it doesn't represent our thinking on this, and that we have no intention of striking. That's from some of the teachers anyway. Will you ask what type of town plan are they working on? Key sites being used for building that should be greenfield sites, and a vacant town centre site used for housing, it says here. And somebody else, Austin, was on to us to say, definitely let the teachers strike, then they can be kicked off the vaccine queue completely, as they will have 3 months break in the summer anyway. What would be the point of vaccinating them at that point? All right, that's 083 311 3311. Delighted to be joined now by our GP, Dr. Pat Harrell. Good morning to you, Pat.
Morning, Fran.
Isn't it a pity, Pat, that it's kind of divide and conquer at this stage among various groupings and stuff. That's a pity that it's getting to that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The target is to have the adult in the country vaccinated by September. So, you know, I mean, everybody will, the way they're doing it with the stratification of ages is the way they think is fastest, you know. So hopefully this will get everybody moving. I think they should do the hairdressers for everybody who's fully vaccinated, and then you'd know who was fully vaccinated because they'd be going around
with a proper hairdo. Well, you'd
be the only people with a proper hairdo, you think, so they could. Well, I'm only slightly joking about that.
Yeah.
660,000 people have got their first shot, and 271,000 have got their second shot. Hmm. In Ireland, which means the millionth dose will be given sometime this week, and they'll probably be ringing a bell and taking a photograph and everything like that. And I was at a meeting. One of the things about this pandemic is, as you know, the Zoom meeting. And there was a Zoom meeting last night of the IMO with 2,000 GPs and practice nurses. And it's amazing the way they can disseminate information. Of the million given, 425,000 were given by GPs in primary care. And when you think that the GPs, after the year we've had and the amount of effort and coping with a whole new situation, a whole new way of working, that was managed to be done, it's quite incredible. Mm. And the news is we're reckoning up to do another 400,000 people in a different way, because we're doing, so far we're doing the over 70s. And anybody who's been at one of the clinics, you probably saw the photographs, you know. It's a sort of a whole day after you get the Pfizer and Moderna in. They're frozen. They have to be basically cooped up and given immediately. And, you know, they're kind of joyous occasion.
Mm. But why are we still hearing, Pat, that there's some people over 80 who still haven't got a vaccine? Yeah. How are people falling through the cracks?
There was huge problems with logistics and delivery and supply. And it's not actually as anyone was really falling through the cracks, I think, so much. Well, actually, I think it was falling a bit through the cracks were the people who were at home and just could not leave the house. Now, I know there was work with ambulances and things to get in, and they're not sure how that's resolved. But it was just not getting them. And as I said to you in the show a few times, we were only getting them in dribs and drabs. Mm. But a couple of things have brought them. One is that we've got a notice a week ahead of how many we're getting, which is great. You can plan accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And two, there are a lot more vaccines coming into the country. So it's hoped that in the next month and a half, we'll be moving off doing the over 70s and we'll be moving into the next phase. And the next phase will be the GPs will be getting the AstraZeneca vaccine in. Now, that's the one you can store in the fridge. It's a bit like the anti-flu in that you can leave it in the fridge for 6 months and give it, you know, we can kind of give it on an ad hoc basis, but you don't have to sort of devote a day to doing it.
Mm.
Now, 1,000 practices so far have signed up for this, which is really amazing. Now, some people just say they they just haven't got the space, and they haven't got they just haven't got the staff, and that's fair enough. And they get onto the IMO, and provision will be made for it to be given elsewhere. Mm. And the categories we will be giving will be the 4A, which is your diabetic, who's not terribly well controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Your morbid, well, you're really obese, over 40, and the people with sort of very chronic respiratory failure. Now, you know, there might be a fair bit of overlap in that sense, because if you've got a diabetic who's well controlled with a BMI over 40,
right,
that's one jab, but that's another jab free for somebody else. And we'll be working our way down through those until we get to the group 7A category. And that's people basically the same sort of ones we'd be given the anti-flu to. Those with chronic liver disease, those with chronic kidney disease. There's a few categories that might be a bit of overlap, like people with severe disabilities and mental illness would be given by the community care. But, you know, that we might be given some of those. So as you're going down, and the we're told on this isn't really GP territory at all, but the centres will be open the third week of April, and that's in around the week of the 19th of April,
and that's for people of
they're going to kick off at 65 to 69 year olds,
right? Okay,
and then again there'll be a bit of a crossover, because you know some of those 65 to 69s will be ringing up because they're diabetic,
right?
And the other thing is hospitals have been working away giving people like cancer patients and people with renal failure and stuff. Now, unfortunately, there's no way that the hospital system talks to the GP system. We just don't have the infrastructure.
This is from an IT point of view, Pat, is it?
This is from an IT point of view. There isn't a national disease register for everybody. There's just, like, I can tell straight away who's diabetic in my practice. Like, just bang, straight away. Straight away it was asthma. Straight away it was kidney failure. We can do that literally in seconds. But so we're probably ringing people up and they say, well, I've done in hospital last week, which is fair enough. It should be a vaccine for somebody else. So this is all going to be an awful lot of work. And meanwhile, we have to do the ordinary work that we're doing. You know, that has to fit in as well. So it's going to be hell for leather now for the summer, basically.
And you will still make contact with the groupings that you mentioned there. But my understanding is when it comes to just the age brackets, you have to register yourself with the HSE. Is that correct, Pat?
I think that they're going to open a portal.
Mm, yes.
So if you're 60, between 65 and 69, and you have no health condition whatsoever, and you're in great shape, I think you have to register yourself
at
the portal, and you get your date to go along and get vaccinated. But if you're one of the people with who's in bad health, basically, your GP will contact you. Now, all the time we're told, because when you open a vial of this, you have to give 10 doses. And if you open a vial for one person, you have 9 left over. We're going to the subs bench of at least 10 all the time. So if you're told you're on the subs bench, you know, you might have to throw down your garden tools and run like hell and go in and get it. So I don't think there'll be... I mean, it's going to be... It's very worthwhile doing, because just waiting there. If you look at the difference between Brazil and Israel, you know, like Brazil is in a terrible state. It's like, it must be an awful place to be at the moment. And Israel are just opening up. And even our next door neighbours, the UK, you can see that they're actually, they are actually getting on top of their figures.
Yeah, which is great to see. And what do you make of the news over the last 24 hours or so that there may be extra benefits if you're vaccinated, that, you know, you might be able to go and have a jar, you might be able to go to a restaurant before anybody else. Do you like the idea of that, Pat?
Well, as somebody who's fully vaccinated, I look anecdotally, people who are fully vaccinated are beaten up already, because it's perfectly legal to do it in the States.
Yes.
And dispense with the mask. One thing I'm not going to do is I still wear the mask downtown and go into shops because I don't want to scare people and annoy people, and the poor old shopkeeper sees me coming with a no mask on and thinks, Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, I wouldn't do that to people, really. I think I'd have to have more empathy. So until everybody throws away the mask, I'm not throwing away the mask.
Right.
But if I'm in behind closed doors and I meet up with somebody, and if any publicans think that they're fully vaccinated, I don't know, I shouldn't say things like that. But you know, there's got to be some bit of hope, you know, and anything you can do legally and safely, and if NIAC and EFID and everything say it's okay, I'm going to embrace it.
There's other bits of fear coming out about AstraZeneca. once again, Pat. What can you say to us about that, about the clotting in certain age brackets? And
Yeah, this isn't unusual. You know, if any new medication comes out, people, there's always a bit of feedback going back to the company. You know, is this normal? Is this something you'd expect anyway? You know, if you give a million doses of anything, some people are going to get something and they might have got it anyway.
Mm.
But are you more likely to? And then the other thing is, are you so much more likely to it unsafe? Like I often say to people, if you said to me you're going to drive to Dublin right now from Clonmel, I couldn't give you 100% advantage to get there. But you probably will. So there is a very, very slight chance of clotting in the Astra vaccine and it's also in the Pfizer vaccine. But if you catch COVID and you get a good dose of it, you're 40% likely to have some kind of a clotting thing. So, I mean, it's like the chances of winning the lotto versus the chances of actually ending up with a kind of a Brazil situation.
Right.
But, you know, this is always looked at. They're always scrutinised. And it's a bit like you're getting on a... You know, you have to trust the scientists.
Of course, yeah.
The fact is it's scrutinised so well and much so well is encouraging. But I think just the advice remains, take the first vaccine you get. You know, don't be worrying, oh, I might get this later, I might get that, or I might...
Right. Take the vaccine.
Get the vaccine. Get out of the zone.
Are you coming across the situations of long COVID, Pat? So people who are still experiencing symptoms and difficulties way after they're contracting the disease?
Yeah, we're getting a few. One person told me now that his son was a very, very high level athlete, you know, and he just hasn't got the performance back. You know, he sort of slipped from nearly the best in Ireland to being very sort of average, you know, and that's sort of nearly a year later. There is actually some, and it's anecdotal, it hasn't been written up yet fully, but if you get the vaccine, some of the long COVID symptoms can actually disappear. We're hoping that's what happens.
That's very interesting.
That's very interesting. The big reaction they get. Now, some people just said long COVID. Now, that isn't written up in a scientific journal anywhere, but it's certainly being looked at. But it's very hard to know what to do with long COVID people. And I was speaking to respiratory nurses, and they were saying that they think that there's probably going to have to be a specially designated unit and outpatients and everything and new respiratory physicians and everybody to cope with long COVID because, you know, nobody knows what to do with you. You know, you just, it's a bit like an ME kind of a situation, no energy and recurrence. And a shocking amount of people who are in hospital with COVID end up going back in, you know, in the next couple of months. So if you get a decent dose of it and you're sick with it, it's very, very hard to shake up.
I can imagine indeed. Is there any notion at this point where the vaccine, the Johnson & Johnson one is coming in? Because that's the single jab, that's going to be...
Yeah, I don't know, Fran. I heard absolutely nothing about that last night, about the Johnson & Johnson coming in. That would be the big game changer in the third world. You know, because I think it's like the... The first dose was so effective, they said there's no point in the second dose. And, you know, some of the vaccines might end up like that yet. They might say Pfizer or Astra might say, look, we don't really need to be given the second dose. Another thing that came out last night that I really wasn't fully aware of is they reckon that the Astra is... It's very efficient if you get a second dose after a month. A bit more efficient if you get a second dose after 12 weeks. But, you know, we're coming into the summer and there are holiday times and people. So if you get the second dose in 11 weeks or 10 weeks, you know, just because your doctor won't be there, they're on holidays, whatever, because practices will probably be doubling up and helping each other out, doesn't really matter much. So don't get hung up that it has to be 12 weeks to the day.
Right, very good. And just a final one, any extra news coming into us about how long the vaccines last and their efficacy in terms of that, Pat?
I don't know. I heard Luke O'Neill saying that he was hopeful that the Astra one would last for years.
Yeah.
And it's coming out very well against the new variants. You know, the new variants can change, but the vaccine seems to be holding its own very well. So I suppose the only way we'll find that out is give it time. you know, test the antibodies in a year and test them in another year. And it would be absolutely brilliant if you get 4 or 5 years out of it.
Right, because the only thing that would bother me is an overlap in terms of, you know, that by the time we get to vaccinating, most people will be ready to vaccine again.
I would have to rock up and do it again. Brian, you've just ruined my day. And the other thing is, it still says that you're 19 times less likely to catch COVID outside. So, you know, that's wrap up and we get out there and do whatever we can.
Right.
You know, but I think the touch of spring is giving everybody a bit of a bounce.
Ah, sure, a bit of sunshine, you can't beat it. Pat, it's always a pleasure and sorry for ruining your day, but I tend to do that anyway. good to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
That's our GP, Dr. Pat Harold, in Nina today. 22 minutes past 10 right now.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie